Hey Dee, did you have fun at the GardenCom National Garden Bureau Book Authors Talk gardening event last night?
I sure did.
I did too, and I ended up buying another book, but we're going to talk about that in a future episode because I think you bought it too.
Yeah, I think it's actually sitting in my cart at Amazon, but let's save that topic for another day while I start us off this week. Welcome to the Garden Angelus, where we talk about flowers, veggies, and all the best dirt. I'm Dee Nash from Guthrie, Oklahoma, where I garden an acre and a half out of 7.5 acres way out in the country.
And I'm Carol Michael from Indianapolis, Indiana. I have a suburban garden measured in square feet. It's about a third of an acre.
We call ourselves Garden Angelus because we are evangelists for gardening. We love gardening, and we want you to love it too.
Yes, we do. And we aren't afraid to spill the beans and tell all of our gardening secrets, the good, the bad, and even the ugly. But that's enough of who, what, when, where. Let's move on to this week's episode. Hello, Dee.
Hello, Carol. How does your garden grow?
Oh, Dee. So Monday, I went to the greenhouse and I bought my violas and pansies and I got them all potted up. It was 75 degrees. It was sunny. It felt like late April. Mm-hmm. Man, big storms on Tuesday. I mean, I barely got home from Costco and it just a gully washer, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
Wednesday was colder. Thursday was colder. Today is rainy. And I actually put out my rain gauge for at least today because I don't know how much we got Tuesday because my rain gauge wasn't out. But I will know today. But
yeah,
Monday was enough garden happiness for an entire week. And then I went to the library this morning. And the seed library has been restocked. And so I got some seeds from the seed library.
I didn't even know you guys had a seed library. What is it?
So a seed library, it's basically packets of free seeds that you can get at the library.
I don't think we have that, but maybe we do. Someone will tell me if we do.
Oh, it's the greatest thing ever. I got some.
Because you needed seeds. You didn't have enough.
Yeah, I got some black beans called turtle that for drying. I got mm-hmm. some more nasturtium. I picked up a marigold, a radish I'd never heard of, and some prairie milkweed, they called it, but it looked like swamp to me. Doesn't have the botanical name. But anyway, I limited myself to 5.
Oh, good for you. Good.
How about your week?
So it was warm here too when we recorded, and yesterday was still really warm. And we shouldn't say we're recording on Friday. And it was, you know, it was a nice day. And I went out there and sowed a bunch more seeds. And I'm writing a blog post about that and some other garden updates. It's not done yet, but it's close. And I planted some of my cold weather flowers out in the garden beds, like in the cut flower beds, Bell's Violet, nasturtiums, calendula. And then I transplanted my Rudbeckia herda. For those people who aren't into all the Rudbeckias, Rudbeckia herda is the fuzzy leafed ones. That's how I tell people when I garden coach them. So I did Prairie Sun and Indian Summer. And Jennifer had brought me those. She had grown them from seed, Jennifer of Lady Blug Flower Farm. And so they had gotten big, and I knew they would be okay with our chillier weather. In fact, that they, Rudbeckia herda needs a long season. Bell's of Ireland needs a cooler season. So both right. of these I got out there. And I'm still growing seeds. I started some seeds for Rudbeckia herda Cherokee Sour, which is another one I really like. And they're still really small. And then last night, while we were doing the broadcast of the it was an author's deal for GardenCom and for National Garden Bureau, a giant storm came through here. And I have to say, my Starlink internet is the best stuff ever because I did not lose contact. And that's good because we had breakout sessions and I had a breakout session and you had a separate one and it was busy. So we had rain last night, big storms. I haven't looked at my rain gauge, but right now it just started raining again, but it's that misty, cold rain now.
That's kind of what we have.
Yeah, kind of. And you know what? We need that in spring. We should talk about that because it's been too warm. It's been like April and we need it to back off a little bit.
We
do. Slow down, spring. Slow down.
Yes. I'm looking out my front window at the crab apples. Got little tiny leaves coming out and it's like, slow up. A lot of cold still to come.
Yeah.
But let's play favorites.
Let's do it.
So we have a common favorite,
We do.
You want to read that?
Sure. What someone sent us a beautiful review comment and it said, these ladies share their gardening experiences with fun, banter that I always look forward to. The topics are varied, and the garden angelists are honest about the triumphs and challenges that come with gardening. So refreshing. These are the gardening friends we all wish we had. And that wasn't that on Apple? So we don't have her name. I assume she's a she.
Yes.
Whoever left that on Apple, thank you.
Yes, thank you very, very much. Now, what's your other favorite this week?
So my favorites in my garden right now are my, how do you say it? Is it Iphion or Iphion?
I'd say Iphion.
Uniflorum, which is a little bulb that nobody called the star flower. And it's a great little bulb for your border, at the front of the border, especially because nobody wants to eat it, which I love. And it kind of moves around. Like, I'll find it in one part of the border, and then whatever is underground is moving things. I'll find it over another spot, and it's pretty cool. And it looks really good with my fall planted orange pansies that have decided they love spring.
That is amazing.
And bold and beautiful, and they're orange. So they look really good with that color because it's bluish purple. And then the Chionodoxa forbicide, which is, I think it's actually Chionodoxa. I looked it up this morning just to be sure. It's Blue Giant. That's the one I have because I like the bigger ones. That's on my garage border, and it is just shining right now, just beautifully shining. So that, and also, I noticed our state tree, the redbud, has just burst into bloom all over the countryside, just in time. How about you?
Well, I'm going to say, if our redbuds start blooming now, people are going to absolutely freak out because that is way, way too early for Indiana.
Right, because you live in Indiana.
Yes. The first Chionodoxa, which is Glory of the Snow, in my back lawn came up the other day. I noticed it on Monday because my favorite has to be all those violas and pansies that I potted up on Monday. Those violas, they smell so good. And you know, I do love them. I love them a lot.
I love them too. And you know what? They smell good. They're pretty. They add so much. I've got some blue ones that are right out by my back door, out the kitchen door, and they just make me happy every time I go out there. So I'm really glad to have them.
Ditto. Well, I'll do a quote and we'll go into our flower topic.
Okay.
Don't be fooled by the calendar. There are only as many days in the year as you make use of. Charles Richards.
Hadn't thought about it that way. Interesting. Yeah. So our flower topic is daffodils. And right next to daffodils with an exclamation point, I wrote deer proof.
Yeah, that's important for you.
It is really important for me because I don't have a dog anymore. So deer proof is very important. And you know what? They don't like them.
That is good. So we're each going to talk about three favorites. So you have a favorite.
Are we going to go back and forth? My favorite, your favorite, my favorite, your favorite?
Yeah, let's do it that way.
We've never done that before. Okay, so my first favorite is Sir Winston Churchill. And it is a big white double that doesn't mind the heat. It might, because daffodils can be a little finicky, some varieties in Oklahoma, because we're right in the middle. We're not really jonquil country, and we're not really north daffodil country. But Sir Winston Churchill is a beautiful white one that is a double with a tiny golden eye. And sometimes doubles don't do well here. And I have it planted up by the yellow deciduous magnolias that have never flowered in my garden. I think that they had too much shade. Maybe they'll flower this year. I keep looking at them, trying to decide if they have flower buds on them or just leaf buds. I don't know. We'll see. So your turn.
So my favorite is the little tête-à-tête daffodils that come up very early in the spring. You're going to correct my pronunciation.
Tête-à-tête. It's fine.
Didn't I say tête-à-tête?
Yeah, pretty much. Uh-huh.
Okay.
You're fine.
Okay. So I have a bunch and they're easy to dig up in the green and move around. And I've got them in a couple places but they're always the very first daffodils to bloom and they're tiny little cute little things. And I do like them. And I will say, if you move them a lot, the next year they may not bloom there because my neighbor spread, he had a big clump of them. He spread them all out. And so far his aren't blooming yet. And I haven't seen a bunch of flower bulbs. So, but anyway, that is my first favorite, the tête-à-tête.
They may have to gear themselves back up to bloom because he's moved them too much. I have tête-à-tête also, and that's not my next favorite, but what I like about them is they start blooming the minute they come up. I mean, And then the little stem grows longer and longer and longer. And so pretty soon they are quite so short. And they just make me happy. And they're probably my earliest one too. Okay, my second one is Thalia. And it's an award-winning heirloom daffodil from 1916. And it's one I suggest a lot to my garden coaching clients. And this is from, this little bit is from Van Engelen's website. Soon nicknamed the Orchid Narcissus, fragrant Thalia has up to 5 pendant white flowers per stem with recurved petals and a dainty cupped-shaped crown. And the end quote. And I said, I put this one everywhere and I love how it throws back its petals. It just looks like it's filled with joy. And it's a beautiful, beautiful, pure white.
I was going to say, I have some Thalia in the back and it's not blooming yet, but it is, like you said, it is sort of a rejoicing in spring kind of bloom.
Mine isn't blooming yet either. It's just getting ready to start. It's a little later.
So the other one, the second one I have is, and I looked all over to figure out the name of it. But for my pink garden next to my garage, I wanted to put a daffodil in there. And I found one with white petals and a pink cup from Brent and Becky's Bulbs. But when I went and looked, none of them sounded exactly familiar. So it could be a variety they don't care anymore. But it's one, and I just picked one at random, like British Gamble that I saw on their website. But it's nice because if you're trying to be monochromatic in a garden, like all pink over there, it's nice. It's a nice surprise to find a daffodil that is mostly pink. And when I say pink, it's really more peach, but you know, we'll let that slide.
It starts out kind of pink and then it gets peachier and peachier as time goes on. I have it too. If it's British Gamble, I grow British Gamble because of the pink cupped daffodils. I think it's one of the best.
Maybe it's the one I have, but I don't know.
It might be. If it's lasted a while, I'm going to say it is, because a lot of times they fade. They're not as hardy as some of the other stuff. And then my third one is Avalanche. And I went to Brent and Becky's website for this one because it's often called 17 Sisters in the past, because it has 15 to 20 sweetly fragrant flowers per stem. And it's white with a light yellow demi-tasse shaped cup. And it was commonly found in many colonial gardens. But then it says on their website, it's a show flower and great in the garden, classic 1955. So I'm not really sure how it could be found in colonial gardens and be from 1955, but I didn't have time to do a bunch of research on it. Maybe they mean colonial style.
That's what I was thinking, colonial style.
It's a very pretty one. You can force it indoors, but I don't. I just grow it outside.
So my third one, and this is maybe a cop-out, but I have random yellow daffodils all over, and I'm pretty sure at one time I bought one of those big bags full of daffodil bulbs and just planted them, not being very particular about variety. And I think that is a way, and this will tie into our book thing in a minute, but you don't have to be fussy about all the different varieties. And sometimes you can pick up one of those big bags of 100 daffodils. And I have a couple of rows of them out by my vegetable garden that I just grow mostly because I want to pick them and bring them inside. And so they're yellow, they're pretty. And at one point I kind of moved a bunch from the pink garden where they were used to be back there. And then I mark with a stake where the row ended, and then I can get more bulbs and I know where the end of the row is in the fall to add.
Yeah.
To
that's a good idea. So yeah, I mean, I think when I started, I did big bag. Sure. Why not? Because it's a good way to do it inexpensively.
Plus, but now here's the thing. You need, and this, we'll talk a little bit more about this, but you want to plant your daffodils where the foliage can ripen naturally and die back naturally.
Yep.
And that makes some gardeners a little anxious.
Yeah, it stresses them out because they want to cut them back, or, you know, because it doesn't look good when it's dying back. But we have other ideas.
Yes,
Our ideas are, first of all, get over it.
Yeah, well, listen to us. That's our gardening technique always is. Get over it. This is why Carol doesn't do garden coaching.
Well, I mean, nature doesn't, you know, nature doesn't do what we want it to do, right?
Right.
And then my suggestion is plant daylilies next to them because they will hide the foliage.
True that.
As they come up, just tuck the foliage behind them. Also, underneath trees, hostas. Hostas come up just in time. Tuck the foliage behind that. and, you know, just let it die. Don't cut it back. Ask me why I know that, because I did it 1 year. I cut it back and then I didn't have hardly any daffodils the next year, you know? And then also don't tie up the foliage. I love Martha Stewart, but don't tie up the foliage. It won't let it get sun down into the foliage, which is what it needs to make, you know, food for the bull.
I have seen that where people sort of tie them up into like a little knot so that they, you know, it's like, don't do that. Don't do that.
Who has time anyway?
No,
really.
Nobody has time for that. Now, the other thing is, I mentioned I like to cut them and bring them inside, and they have to always go in their own vase because they don't play nice with other flowers in the vase.
They really don't. I mean, I know some people like let them sit for 24 hours to get all that slime out of them, and then they put them with other flowers. But, you know, just enjoy them by themselves. It's much, much easier. Then also cut them in the bud, because they'll go ahead and open naturally by themselves.
Yes. And I remember when I worked always, and it was March 15th, it was some cancer awareness day, and they would bring in, you could buy bundles of daffodils for a donation to the, I think, American Cancer Society. They would bring in boxes of these daffodils, and everybody was always surprised that they were in the bud and kind of disappointed. And I said, give it about 2 minutes in that water and it'll be wide open. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, because if you cut them when they're already open, they won't last very long.
No,
in the vase.
They will not last very long. And so that stuff inside the stem, that's called the sticky sappy stuff. That's the technical term.
Yeah, the sticky sappy stuff, that technical term.
Yeah, yeah. And always, because of the sticky sappy stuff, you should replace mm-hmm. the water daily because it gets nasty pretty quick.
It does. And then you also had written, my daffodils didn't bloom. Why?
Because you weren't a good gardener.
Boy, we are sassy today.
We are sassy today. That is not why.
No. It's because they're too crowded, probably.
Yes.
Or you moved them recently. Or they got burned in a fire. Some of mine got burned last year and they came back, but they did not bloom this year.
Okay.
I'm just happy they're back.
So for 99.999% of our listeners, the reason your daffodils probably didn't bloom is they got crowded. And so if you have a patch of them and you know it's not lichoris, which is green and isn't expected to bloom in the spring, dig them up. You can dig them up in the green, divide them, and then spread them out. And then probably next year you will get flowers.
And if you have lichoris, the straight lichoris, sell your home and run. Okay, keep going.
Why?
Oh, it is hard to go. Oh, it's, yeah, never mind. Oh, lichoris is okay. Sorry, I was confusing it with something else.
You were confusing it with liriope?
I was for about 2 seconds. I like lichoris. Never mind. Keep going.
Okay. All right. So the other thing is,
Carol's going, can I cut this out? We'll sound smart again. You know, I just have my moment.
You'll have to. No, we're going to leave it because it just shows that we're thinking off the top of our heads and we're going to say stuff, and we say stuff all the time. It's like when I go back to listen to it, I'm thinking, well, that would be an edit if it was written, but this is the spoken word. So anyway.
Yes.
When should you order bulbs, Dee, for daffodils?
Well, I think pretty soon, because the ones you want, they're going to sell out of pretty fast. I usually order mine in about June or July or at the end of daffodil season, because I've seen where I need bulbs.
Yeah.
And I take pictures of it with my phone and then I know where to plant them. But I have to put all that in my notes program so I don't forget, because I'm 61 years old and I forget things.
Really? Wait till you get to 65.
No, I hope it doesn't get worse.
Anyway. Okay. Well, that is our daffodil discussion. I hope it was enlightening. And just like a daffodil, it brightened your spring a little bit. Do that next quote.
Something of God flows into us from the blue of the sky, the taste of honey, the delicious embrace of water, whether cold or hot, and even from sleep itself. C.S. Lewis. Okay, it's funny that we did a C.S. Lewis quote, because I'm reading a book called A Severe Mercy through Well-Read Mom. We're doing it for Lent. And in it, there are all these letters from C.S. Lewis to this couple who went through something really hard. And they're just so good. And they talk a lot in this book about nature and how beautiful nature is. So I think you'd like it, Carol. All right, next on to vegetables.
So for our vegetable topic, the All America Selections, which is part of National Garden Bureau now, they have 3 new All America Selections for 2024 in the vegetable category. So I thought we'd kind of whip through those and talk about them because we actually have seeds for some of these D's.
We do. And you said 2 broccolis and a pepper. And the first broccoli is Purple Magic, and you sowed seeds winter sowing.
Yes, and I went out there yesterday, and not a one of them has come up. And so I thought, I probably should sow some inside. And then I'm wondering, when I was winter sowing, it seems like some of the packets, when I tipped them, like every seed went in there, and I didn't bother to try to fish any out. So that could be one of them.
Could be. And so we also talked about purple broccoli a little bit back because Monty Don was growing it on Gardener's World. And then we got purple broccoli seeds, which was fun, from National Garden Bureau. And then I didn't sow mine. I'm going to sow mine in the fall. I'm going to try it in the fall.
So what they said on the website is this purple broccoli is magical. How else do you explain a broccoli that has it all? And I'm like, ooh, what is all for a broccoli? Beautiful purple color, tight uniform heads, and
good taste.
Yeah, bright beads to its great broccoli flavor. I don't understand that sentence. Easy to grow, stress and heat tolerant. That's a big one for both of us. Said it was a showstopper.
And then somebody said, wicked good, nicest purple broccoli we've ever seen, exclaimed one very experienced edible judge. So the name of this one is Purple Magic.
Yeah. And so anyway,
is it out yet?
We're going to include links to All America Selections. And one of the 3 vegetables, it said available soon. And I don't remember which one. So our listeners will have to go to the links and then they can check it out. And that one is a national winner. Now, the next broccoli is called Sky Tree. And It's a regional winner in the West and Northwest. So I'm like, well, enough said. I'm probably not going to try it. Not that I'm a big broccoli grower anyway. So,
yeah, me neither, because it's really hard to grow here. And you have to start it pretty early here. So let's move on to the pepper. It's Red Impact, and it's a national winner. And then they wrote this thing about Lamuyo type peppers are normal, notoriously difficult to grow. And I thought, what is a Lamuyo?
I had to look that up. It turns out it's basically bell peppers. And that is true. You can grow bell peppers and get them green, but to get them to like the red, orange, yellow, purple stripe,
it is more work. Yeah.
In my case, they often end up rotting. And a funny thing is, I went to talk to my financial advisor place, and I was talking to one of the younger people, found out I was a gardener, and he was all excited, and he says, I can't grow bell peppers to save my, and so I didn't know about Red Impact, but man, this sounds really nice.
It does sound nice, and I think we both got seeds for it, so I'll try it.
Yeah, I'm going to start
the seeds.
I'm not
a big bell pepper grower, but I mean, I used to be back in the old days, but anyway, I'll try it. They were big. They're really big, at least in the picture.
Yeah. They said that the fruits were large, almost 8 inches long and mostly straight. Lots of fruit production. Basically huge fruit. This person said 6 inches, good flavor. The size is astonishing. Basically, it just sounds like Red Impact is a good name for it. So I'm excited to try that.
So we'll give it a try.
And then we can report back later in late summer and early fall. How did Red Impact do? We'll have to make a note to follow up on that for our own little trial, but definitely on my list.
Yeah.
And I think I might actually make enough seedlings to give some to my sister and her husband have a vegetable garden, and maybe they'll try it too. So we'll see.
Cool. Sounds good.
So that's vegetables. You ready to talk about books?
Yes. You have to do the quote.
Still, there's nothing for it but to get started. All of the best work is small work, after all. From The Blizzard of the World by Paul Kingsnorth.
And we chose this because the book this week is Growing Bulbs in the Natural Garden by Jacqueline Vanderclute. And we actually met Jacqueline and we heard her talk in Chicago. She wrote Color Your Garden in 2018, which was when we were in Chicago. And so she came to, it was GardenCom, and she did the most beautiful speech. And I have since gone on YouTube and looked at a whole lot of her YouTubes, because she's really fun to watch as she plans. She does very, very big projects, and she works a lot with Pete Udolf, and a lot of places hire her to come in and do the bulb section. And then he does more of the, you know, prairie style, for lack of a better word, section. So this book is, I think it would make a great gift book. But what do you want to say about it?
Well, I want to say it's really a very good idea book. And I think about different places in my garden right now that, first of all, growing in the natural way. And I tell the story of my sister who had bought a bunch of bulbs 2 years ago, and she wanted me to come over and help place them. And so I said, okay. And we dumped all the bulbs into a bucket. And she's like, what are you doing? And then I just basically tossed them into this little flower bed by their front walk. And I said, first of all, you're going to put them here because this is where you're going to see them every day. And she was a little bit skeptical. I said, wherever they landed, just plant them. And the next spring, she loved it. And that I would never have thought to do without reading about the method that Jacqueline Vanderkloot has. And that's what she does. And so this, a lot of people have a natural garden, and people think of like rows of tulips and rows of hyacinths and little soldiers. And this book really helps you think beyond that and kind of fitting them in that better way to put it, natural style.
Yeah, naturalized setting. So when I was looking through it, I thought it would make a wonderful Mother's Day gift or a gift for a new home with a little package of bulbs and maybe something to plant them with. And I think it's for a little bit more experienced gardener, but you know what? Read above yourself if you're brand new. I mean, it won't hurt you. I read above myself for a long time, and you will get something out of it. And then over time, you can learn more and more from it. She knows more about bulbs than almost anybody. And it's also really practical with tools and bulbs for beginners. So she tells you which ones are easier to grow. And bear in mind, she isn't from the United States, but it doesn't really matter because bulbs are they're kind of a regional thing anyway, and certain bulbs do better. Like, for example, tall alliums don't do well in Oklahoma. They don't like our summers. They don't like the somewhat wet winters. They just don't like it here. But you can grow Allium Millennium or Allium, one of the other ones, like the Serendipity one or whatever it's called. See, I'm going off the cuff again. I might get into trouble. So my point is, not everything works in everybody's garden, but a lot of things work in all gardens.
Yes. And I would say here, my tall alliums do quite well. I do deadhead them before they set seed, because you can get those little seedlings coming up and they're the dickens to get rid of. But
we don't have that problem.
But I think, people think about when they go to the Netherlands to see the bulbs in the spring. I mean, they just see, they go by the big fields where they're growing them out, or they go to that famous garden,
Kirkenhof,
and they've got just big swaths like of all grape hyacinths and big swaths of red tulips. And people think about their bulb planting that way, but a better way to think about it, and I'm looking out at my front bed because I'm in a different location today, and I've got little bulbs scattered through there, but I see like this one section. I'm going to take some pictures, and then in the fall, I can just plop some bulbs in there and make that just a little bit nicer.
I think that's a great idea, Carol.
By the way, and that is a good idea. Go out and take pictures of the same spot like every week, so you can kind of see what's growing up, what's coming up. And then in the fall, you're less likely to put the old trowel right into a bulb that was there already.
Which we've never done. Never, ever.
I have to pull it up here. Growing Bulbs in the Natural Garden, Innovative Techniques for Combining Bulbs and Perennials in Every Season by Jacqueline Vanderkloot. And it is from Timber Press. And I think it's out already. We did get review copies. So it's out this spring. Mm-hmm. I think it's out, but I don't know the date.
I think it was fairly recent, though, because we saw it somewhere and we thought, oh, we need to get that.
I am.
Okay, you ready for the next quote? What is this life if, full of care, we have no time to stand and stare? William Henry Davies, a Welsh poet from his poem Leisure. And our dirt is, you found our dirt. And go for
our
it.
Our dirt is glowing petunias. What have we here?
And when you showed me this, I said, it's like plants aren't miraculous
enough
by themselves.
And I said, can I quote you on that?
And I said, you bet. So the first GMO petunia has arrived, and it's using genes from a mushroom that glows in the dark. So they can make a petunia that glows in the dark, and it's named Firefly.
And
what else you want to say about that?
Well, I'm going to say that we'll include a link. I'm going to say it is not cheap to buy. If you would like to buy one petunia for $29, probably shipping is not included, knock yourself out.
Yeah.
But the other thing I'll probably just get myself in trouble if I talk too much about it. But my thought is, does the world need a petunia that glows with all the other problems that the world faces? And so I will leave that as a rhetorical question.
There you go. Let's move on to our rabbit holes and you do the quote.
Forgiveness is the fragrance that the violet sheds on the heel that has crushed it. Mark Twain.
That's a good one.
That is a good one.
So my rabbit hole is, I'm going to pull it out. My rabbit hole is this cool little thing. It's a little, what would you call this thing? It's a waterproof, I don't know, guide. We'll just call it that. A waterproof guide that you can take out in the garden with you. And it's called Butterflies of the Great Plains Waterproof Guide. And it's from a company called QuickReferencePublishing.com. And I picked it up somewhere, but you can order it online. And it gives you pictures of the butterflies, the caterpillar. Sometimes you have information on the chrysalis. And it's just fascinating. And it's a good guide when you're out there. Now, we have lots of ways to identify butterflies anymore. But it's a good way to do research. Like, you know, if I'm sitting here and I'm looking at my photo that I took of the butterflies because they're super fast, and I want to check whether it's a northern cloudy wing, a common sooty wing, or a southern cloudy wing. This gives you really good little pieces of information and really good pictures, because look at the cloudy wings, Carol. The cloudy wings look a lot alike.
They do. Moths look a lot alike to me.
They do to me too. So those are actually butterflies, and I just thought it was a cool thing. So that was one of mine.
Cool.
And then they have other guides too, including edible plants, butterflies, and birds. And we'll link to it in this week's Substack for sure.
All right. Well, one would think that my rabbit hole was Dorothy Childs Hogner, my latest Lost Lady of Garden Writing. And that would be correct, because she wrote over 50 books, and three of them, of which I have one of the three, on growing herbs. And so I spent a tiny bit of time, like several hours, figuring out all the books that I could find that she had written, because there was no one place. Like, a lot of times you can look up an author and it's like, okay, here's the 50 books they wrote. But hers, she wrote between 1937, I think, all the way until 1979. So,
dang. And you know what? Garden writing used to be an easier career.
Well,
I'm just saying.
Let me just say this. There, it's not all garden writing. She mostly wrote for children. And so she has many stories out there, like Winky, King of the Garden, which is the story of a scarecrow that's afraid of crows. But then, like,
that's funny.
These little animal creatures, I think a squirrel. I'm going to say a squirrel, a rabbit, a mouse, and maybe a chipmunk helped the squirrel get over it. And I thought, you know, it's sort of like a Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz reverse. Anyway,
and there you go.
She wrote a lot of nature science books for kids, like the one on earthworms, one on snails. And then she wrote travel books. She and her husband, whom she met in New Mexico, even though they lived their life in Litchfield, Connecticut, they were in a magazine article talked about how they would get in their dilapidated car, and it's 1930s, so it's probably dilapidated, and just head out and camp along the way in a dilapidated old tent, I'm thinking, boy, that is probably...
People were tough.
That's probably roughing it. But they had an herb farm in Connecticut. So anyway, between bookfinder.com with books for sale and Google Books that listed some, and a newspaper ad I found that had one listed that wasn't on the other list. So I got the whole list to where I thought, oh, I'm good. And then I did a search for their herb farm, of all things, on Google Books. And up pops this writer's resource guide from 1980 that lists all these authors and all the books they wrote. And there is every book that Dorothy wrote. But I never got it by searching for Dorothy. Anyway.
Right.
So my gift
because
to the internet. My gift to the internet is a complete list of the books written by Dorothy Childs Hogner. And then along the way, there's a 1971 catalog from their herb farm that's for sale on A Books. And I have it in my cart. But I'm like, I don't really need that catalog, do I?
No, you don't need it. But if you want it, you can have it.
That is true. It's out there. And by the way,
it's out there.
The Litchfield Historical Society has also in its archives a bunch of stuff about Dorothy. But for somebody who wrote 50 plus books, nobody even wrote an obituary about her when she died in 1989. Nobody even wrote an obituary.
I bet her people were all gone. And so nobody knew, you know, she probably lived to be so old.
She had no children. She was 85 when she died. She had no children. She had two brothers, but I think her people, she's just disappeared.
But she hasn't disappeared. And that is your real gift to the internet.
Yes.
Because
I brought Dorothy back.
You keep writing about these people, these women who wrote these things that nobody knew about. And you and I have studied a lot of gardening stuff over the years, and we know a lot of garden writers. And you have found a bunch of new ones. So that's your real gift to the internet.
Yes, that. Thank you, Dee. So
you're welcome.
Are you ready for my solar eclipse update?
I have accepted that the solar eclipse is very important to many people. So I'm ready.
So the other day, and I think I saw this link on Facebook, the local meteorologists around here got together and took 30 years of weather history for Indianapolis and Indiana, basically. And said, what is the likelihood that April the 8th will be a cloudy day in Indianapolis? Because if it was a day like today, for example.
Like today, we'd be in trouble too.
It would be very, very horrible. And so this is disturbing to me. They gave us a 10% chance of a sunny day on April the 8th based on the last 30 years. But I think that's bogus science. I don't think so.
Okay.
I refuse to believe it. But because they said the further south and west you went along the path of total eclipse, the more likely you would be to find a sunny day. Anyway, I hope they're not right.
I hope they're not either. And I hope it's sunny here too, because my husband's excited.
Good.
So what are we going to do in our gardens next week?
Well, I'll go first. My new patio table and chairs are arriving on Wednesday, the day this episode drops. And it was going to arrive today, but I have tickets this afternoon to see Cabrini, the new movie.
And I cannot wait to see Cabrini.
I've had him for a month. And so I managed to.
Me too.
I didn't think FedEx, like, where's the option to change the date? So I called and the nice lady changed it to Wednesday.
That's good.
Because basically they says it comes on the truck, they lower the thing with your pallet, and then it's up to you to take all the pieces and parts and, you know, put them where you want them. They're not delivered.
Oh, like my greenhouse, like how they delivered my greenhouse. The same thing. Yeah. So, all these big things landed in my driveway and I was like, okay then.
Yes. So anyway, that's going to be like the centerpiece of the week. And then before and after, weather permitting, and it doesn't look like it's going to permit very much next week. I'll do some cleanup. I need a few more pansies and violas. And then Sunday is St. Patrick's Day. And so that is the traditional day to sow peas, which I will do. I also have tickets to the Indiana Flower and Patio Show. And I'm going to go on Sunday, that last day. I always feel like that's a good day to go because if you're going to buy something, people are like, look, lady, I'll give you a discount if I don't have to cart it out of here. So anyway, it seems like it's going to be a busy week, but just a couple of events. How about your garden?
Okay, so I'm just going to keep on keeping on planting, sowing, but not in the greenhouse right now. I had a reaction yesterday to either the manure and the potting soil in my greenhouse or to the lemon trees. So I called my friend Debbie Clem and I said, come get my two lemon trees. They're in good shape. And so she's going to take them. She's really sad that I can't have them, but I don't care because I really reacted to either their perfume or I reacted to the manure. So I will be like sowing them outside and then running them in after she comes and gets them. And then let's see. I still need to plant the four roses that came this week. I was going to do videos yesterday, but after the reaction that stopped everything, I'm going to tell people what the roses are. Delish is one of them. I grew that actually as a, like they sent it to me years and years ago when it first came out because my name's D. But, and it didn't do well, but I'm going to give it another try in a pot. I think it'll be happier. Eustachia Vi, which is an English rose. Belinda's Blush, which is related to Belinda's Dream. And Quietness, because Teresa Byington said that I needed quietness. And then it's also time to close Bill's Bird Cafe, but that's his job. But then I can clean out all the pots and get them ready to be planted. Yes, I'll be wearing a mask. Then keep trimming the roses. I'm doing it bit by bit and I'm going to feed them. But I've always used Mills Magic Rose Mix as my fertilizer. And someone's going to ask, where do I get it? I actually order it online. But I'll probably do something different this year because I don't know if it has manure in it or if, I mean, I know it has different things. So I have to be careful because of Alpha-Gal. More careful than I realized. So there's that. But I'm not giving up, Carol. I'm going to keep gardening.
Absolutely. And so I have two comments to make. One is, Did you cover your pots with big trash bags like I suggested last year so cleanup would be easier after he closes down the bird cafe?
I did not because he didn't want to do that because he was afraid little animals would get up in them. So what we did is we moved them. So we moved them away from the bird cafe. So that was his, you know, I'm married, so I have to sometimes take his advice.
So just for That's the record. I would like our listeners, and you can tell Bill, that I tucked the bag up under the bottom of the pot, and I have never, ever, ever, and I've been doing this for 10 years, never have had an animal get caught up under that plastic, never.
I'll let you tell him when he pops through here when we're talking, because he'll listen to you.
Okay. And then the other thing is, you mentioned our friend Teresa Byington, and she has the Rose Chat podcast. And aren't you going to be on a guest on it this spring?
Yeah, I think next week is when we record it, or the next week. And so, yes, I'm a guest this spring, and we've already worked out all the details. And because of being a guest on Rose Chat, I have now bought more roses than I would normally this time of year. But that's okay. It's been fun.
Yay. Very fun. All right. That's another episode. I'm going to wrap us up. Thank you for listening to The Garden Angelist. I hope you've hit that subscribe button so you don't miss a single episode. We publish every week on Wednesdays at 12 a.m. Eastern Time.
And if you listen to Apple Podcasts, we'd love a 5-star review. We actually do read them. That helps us get noticed by others. Could you also share our podcast with your friends? Word of mouth is still the best way to get the word out there.
And be sure and check out our show notes for links for more information about today's topics, plus links to our own websites.
And go ahead and subscribe to our Substack newsletter, The Garden Angelist at Substack.com, also linked to it in our show notes. If you do, you get to listen a day early.
And if you want to help support us, use those affiliate links. If you buy something after clicking through on them, we earn a small commission and it costs you nothing.
Or if you want to, you can set up a monthly subscription through Buzzsprout or make a one-time donation through PayPal.
And thank you to everyone who has done so.
It was lovely to chat with all of you over the garden gate. Bye until next week.
Bye, everybody.